we always talk about last week, because you know it's all the dots are connected, right? And some of you all missed it, like my cousin Chucky. And my beautiful cousin Diana. But we pray for you all. Amen. Always keep you lifted up. But we talked about the importance of being on time. Amen. Especially when it comes to the Father. Because the Father is a king, right? Amen. He not only a king, come on. He's the King of Kings, right? So it's like, you know, if you had an invitation to go and visit the president, saints, and you had a petition, a request that you needed him to grant you, right? Tell me you will be late. Huh? Tell me you'll be late. Huh? You'll be get there so early. But when you come to the King of Kings, saints, you got to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyards with praise, right? And when we constantly wait late, we're missing entering his gates with thanksgiving. And we miss the praise and worship. Huh? We're ushering in the Holy Spirit, huh? Which prepares our heart to receive the word of God. Amen? Because you know, you got to break up that fallow ground. You done dealt with the world all week. Huh? You get a little rough. So God wants to break that up so he can, when his word goes forth, you can receive it. You can chew on it. Amen? You all know the early bird gets the word, right? We do got bird sense, right? Huh? Do we got bird sense? The bird, no, I got to get up early if I'm going to eat. Right? We're trying to make it plain. But listen to me, saying generally the early person gets the best choices of everything. I showed you all that last week. Persons that are late, you know what we late people get? Leftovers. Or either they pay too much for what they get. You know, our creditors, they love us. They love late folks. Just keep paying them late fees. Keep paying too much for what you're getting. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have to get out of that mindset, right? It's a bad habit, and it's costly. It's designed, saints of God, to keep us in last place. You hear me? We have to learn how to manage our time, how to be early so we can enjoy God's very best. Who want God's very best? Hallelujah. That eyes have not seen, ears have not heard stuff. That's what I want. Huh? Well, we got to learn how to be on time, saints of God. Manage our time. Amen. It's just a mindset. We have to break it. I had it really bad. You know, that's why God gave. See, when God gave the word out, guess who it's first for? It's for me. Amen. I had that really bad till I met Z. I really did. I never seen nothing like her. I didn't tell y'all the whole story. When I first met her, guess what? Y'all ain't gonna believe this. I might have told some of y'all this before. Z had to be at work at 8:30, okay? 8:30 in the morning. Guess what time? If I told y'all this, don't guess. Guess what time she used to get to work? Y'all won't even believe it. What time? Just give me one guess. Somebody guess. 6:30. Those are good guesses. She is the early bird. She would get there at 5:30 in the morning and turn the lights on, and I'm like, why in the world? I had never saw nothing like that. Why in the world would you get the? She said, well, she worked on the north side. She said, well, you know, if I leave at 4, I miss all the traffic, and I can get there, and then I can sit down and drink my coffee. Turn my a person like me, I said, yeah, this one here is crazy. I'm gonna go to work at 5:30, and you ain't got to be there today. That was crazy. And she's still like that today. You know, like, I got to talk about you for it. When she said, okay, we leaving at 9 o'clock, that don't mean you come down at 9 o'clock. No, that means you leaving at 9:15. I'm like, but you said 9 o'clock. You know, why you fussing at me? You say I got 15 minutes. I had to get that in my spirit, for real. Huh? It's just a mindset, saints. You got to get rid of it. Huh? So we talked about the battle, where the battle is last week, right? Yeah. Speaking of mindsets, where's the battle, saints?
In the mind.
The battle is in the mind. Amen? And we know the world said the mind is a terrible
thing to waste.
And to assure that we don't waste it, it has to be renewed, saints. Huh? The scripture says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How?
By the renewing
of your mind. The mind has to be renewed, saints. It says, let the mind that's in Christ be in us. Let this mind which is in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind you want to let be in you. Amen. That's the correct renewed mind. That's how you renew the mind, actually. Some people think, oh, renew it, oh, get different thoughts, think this, you know, use it really well. And you, no, let Christ transform it. Now you got a renewed mind. Amen. Let me ask you all this. Have you ever seen someone that's stuck? Y'all know it's not a good sight. They stuck. They talking about the same thing from 20 years ago when you used to see them. They talking about the same thing. Nothing new. No revelation. Talking about the same thing every day. Isn't that a bad sight? Well, what happened? Huh? They didn't renew their mind. So they just keep talking. Remember when we did? That was 50 years ago. You had nothing else to talk about. I can't remember back that far. My mind is renewed. That's a bad sight, saints. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you again for renewing our minds, Lord. Huh? We know this battle is yours. That's why we renewed our minds so you can fight it. Amen. Thank you for allowing us to have the mind of Christ, Lord. And that was last week, saints of God. But because we have renewed minds, God gave us some fresh revelation for this week.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? You all want some fresh revelation?
Yeah.
That was last week. Huh? That's over. That's gone. That's done. We walking in that now, right? God tested y'all today. Y'all know he tested y'all today. That's between you and God. Don't look at me. I didn't do the test. I just passed it. Huh? But God's something. Okay, let me show y'all how he tested y'all. So he gave y'all the time message last week, right? Then what did he do? He took away an hour. Let me see if y'all really gonna do this thing. I'm gonna take an hour away. Huh? Let me just see what y'all really go. I say, Lord, now you just gave us that message, though. Now you're gonna take an hour away? But we seeking him. We trying to get there. In my mind, y'all did good. All right? I don't know where y'all at. In my mind, you did good. I'm looking at everybody. Amen. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Thank you, Lord. So today I want to talk to you guys about two great substances that you have. Your two greatest substances, really. We call them your treasure. Amen?
Amen.
Two great substances that you have. One, we just got done talking about. It's your time. See, before you run out of this great substance, you want to make sure that you did everything God sent you down here to do. Amen? So that makes it a great substance. Time is a great substance that you have. And what's the other one? Your money. Your two great substances is your time and your money. Amen. And God doesn't want you to waste either one of them. Amen. You hear people say this. They say, don't waste my time. You know why? Because time is money. Amen. Time is money. They'll tell you, don't waste my time. Time is money. Right? You all know that, right? You all said make it plain. Okay. On most jobs, what do? We trade hours for dollars. That's what we do. We say, okay, I'm going to give you this much time, and you're going to give me this much money. Time is money. Amen? We trade hours for dollars. That's what makes God so good, saints. Because last week he taught us how to manage time and not waste it. And today he's going to teach us how to manage our money and not waste it. Amen? We want to learn how to manage our money and not waste it. And we're talking about our two great substances, right? Time and money. Amen? Amen. It says a lot about you, saints of God. The way you spend your time and the way you spend your money. Did you know that? You can say anything out your mouth. You can say whatever you want to say. Amen? But the Bible says, but we know you by your fruits. Huh? Your fruits. So how do I spend my time and my money speaks volumes about me? Huh? The way you spend your time and the way you spend your money speaks volumes about you. Do you hear me? Your investments tell a lot about you. Hmm? It's a saying that goes like this. Y'all know this one. It say, put your money where your mouth is. Huh? Because you saying a lot of stuff. But we believe you when you put your money. Now we believe you. Okay? You can talk. I do this. I do that. Okay. But what are you putting your money and your time on? That's what's speaking. Amen. See, what you really love, you invest in. Did you know that? You invest, you put money into what you really, really love. You hear me? You all want some revelation, right? Yeah. Everybody come for the revelation, including me. I just want to see what God going to do today. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Boy, I can't wait to get to that. I just want to see what you going to do. Hey. Amen. You got all these promises. I'm going to see which one of these you going to do. Amen. Here's the revelation. We say we love so many things, don't you? Don't we? I love my house. I love my car, right? I love certain TV shows. In my case, I used to say I love golf, right? You all know I love golf. I used to say that, huh? But it's really only two things you should love, saints. Did you all know that? It's really only two things that you should love. That's it. Say, oh, come on, man of God. You used to love golf, you know, right? But the Lord showed me this. The two things that you should love is God. That's number one. And people. That's it. That's the only two things you should love. God and people. Amen. Amen. Everything else, you just enjoy. I enjoy playing golf. Huh? But I love God. Amen. y'all want me to show it to you. All right. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Show you something. Everybody hold your Bible up like this. Say, this is my Bible. Okay, now I'm going to stop that right now. I just wanted to show you all my new Bible. I wanted to show you all my new Bible. Because you all know I'm usually reading off paper, right? But I got to tell you all this real quick before we go to Matthew 22. I like reading off paper. I can create the font the way I want it and everything. But I was in the Christian bookstore getting some cups for communion last week. And I went in there and I just was like a kid in a candy store. I said, wow, that's a nice Bible. Wow, that's a nice book. I bought about 3 or 4 books. Wow, I got to get this. I was just buying all kind of stuff. I was like a kid in a candy store, right? And I'm like, this is so odd because I used to be like that about computers. I'd be in a computer store. Oh, man, I could get this. Oh, I could get, oh, look at this technology. Oh, wow, it does this. And it's like, you know how in communion, how the scripture says, let a man examine himself. I was examining myself. I was like, Lord, you have really took my heart and just, I'm like, I go in a Christian bookstore and I go nuts. I just said that because we're talking about your two great substances, right? We can call them your treasure. Amen. God and people, right? You all in Matthew's? I'm going to show this one to you real quick. Matthew chapter 22, you there? I'm going to read out my new Bible now. See, he thought I was going to do it like Joel Osteen. That's her buddy. See how excited she got when I say, hold up your Bibles. Repeat after me. This is, see how she got excited? I know how to excite my wife. Please. Praise God. All right, you all at Matthew 22. Look at verse 29. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them. Okay, let me tell you what was going on before I read that. So, it said, Jesus answered and said unto them, the them is the Sadducees, right? The Sadducees was about to play the dozens with Jesus because, you know, the Sadducees don't believe in this resurrection. Amen. When you read the Bible, too, saints, let me just give you this tip. Know who he's talking about. So when he begins to speak certain things, you can kind of know what he's trying to correct. See, Jesus know the Sadducees, they don't believe in no resurrection. So they was playing a dozen with him. They said, hey, Jesus, okay, so Moses told us that, you know, if a man dies and he don't have no children and his wife, the brother is obligated to marry that wife, and so forth and so on and so on and so on. So then it was like, well, so who in the resurrection, since you think it's a resurrection, Jesus, that's really what they were saying. Since you believe that, then tell us who wife will she be? Since it's a resurrection, make that make sense. That's really what they were saying to Jesus. They're playing the dozens. Amen. Okay, now let's read verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. That's the position you don't want to be in. They didn't know the scriptures or God's power. Amen. That's an error. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. He said, ain't no marriage in the resurrection. Huh? Y'all got it twisted. That's what he was just telling them. There is no, we don't do that in the resurrection. When you get resurrected, you're not going to be with Sister Teresa anymore in the resurrection. Amen. So enjoy it right now. Huh? To the fullest, to the max. You too, Pastor. Huh? Because they don't do that in the resurrection. Amen. Amen. Hear the word of God. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Amen. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Them Sadducees was like, do you believe what he just said? They was shocked. Amen. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Okay, now the Pharisees want to play the dozen. Now what we know about them? Remember I said when he corrected them, kind of know what, you know, what they believe. The Pharisees were like, they were like, let me bring it up to date. You know, like people who have into the traditions of their fathers, huh? The Pharisees were like that, you know. So if it was a tradition, they just keep it going. Y'all know some churches like that. You know, they know something is wrong in the scripture, but we've been doing this for 50 years. We're not changing. Huh? That's what the Pharisees were like that. Amen. So the Pharisees heard that verse 35. Verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, they were lawyers too. Pharisees and scribes, they were lawyers. They were writing the law down, and they make you do the law to the letter. Huh? That's why he called them hypocrites. Why? Because he knew they couldn't do the law to the letter, but they'll put it on you to do it. Amen. Then one of them was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him. How you gonna tempt God, saints? Huh? Then what did Jesus tell Satan? Don't tempt the Lord thy God. Huh? Ain't no tempting God. But this is what the Pharisee was about to do, right? 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's only two things you should love. Huh? God and your neighbor. Is that what it said? And what hangs on that? Everything. Listen, saints, all the prophets that was coming up, all of them, all the laws, the Ten Commandments, thou should not do this, thou should not. Everything hangs on them to put those two scriptures right there, which is loving two people. God and people. That's the only thing you should be loving. Amen. Y'all still don't believe me. Y'all got that look like y'all don't believe me on y'all face. All right, turn to Luke chapter 10. Let's see what he say. I'm turning Bibles. Now, y'all know I ain't used to turning no Bible, right? I be having all my stuff wrote down. Luke chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 10. Everybody there? Amen. Okay. 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 Look at verse 18. And he said unto them, okay, now who is he talking to? Who was them? The 70, right? You know, God sent 70 out, right? He sent them out how? Two by two, right? So he's speaking to the 70 now. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. When God sent us out, you see what we have? Power, huh? To tread on serpents and scorpions, and ain't nothing gonna hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in. He said, y'all got, see, listen to me, saints. Them evil spirits, they are subject to you. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you can command them spirits. Huh? They're subject to you. Amen. But he said, don't get all happy about that. That's good, right? He said, but don't rejoice about that. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. That's what you get happy about. Amen. Look at verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see these things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Okay. So a certain lawyer, that was probably what? A Pharisee? Huh? Pharisees are lawyers. Pharisees and scribes. They usually lawyers. They know their law, right? So he said, well, what should I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? So he's saying, you got to do what's written in the law. Didn't you read it? Because he know. Why would he say that to a Pharisee? Because he read. He know he knows the law. Huh? He's one that's is hell bent on making you keep the law. Huh? So now he said, what does he use on him? What he knows. Haven't you read it? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. How many people we got to love? God and people. Okay, let me ask the question right. What should we love? Okay, that's it. Not your house, not your car, not your money. Not, you should love God and people. You enjoy everything else, saints. Amen. Y'all buying into this? Oh, no, y'all not. Okay, look. Look, turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You are there? Look at verse 1. It says, Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. So they was on their way to the promised land, right? So he was like, hey, this is what I want to tell you need to do on your way to the promised land, right? So you can possess the land, right? Is that what he's saying? Look at verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee. Thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. So he says, okay, this is what I'm going to tell you what you need to do. First of all, you got to fear God, and your day is going to be prolonged. Huh? And all these in these commandments, right? Look at verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers have promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Where they get ready to go? To the land that flow with milk and honey. Huh? Same place y'all going. Amen. Amen. Same place. Amen. Look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be where? In thy heart. He talks about y'all going to do all these commandments. Oh, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And then what did he say? Love him with all your heart. Amen. That's how he ended it up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We should only love two things, saints: God and people. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, turn to Mark. How many witnesses we had so far on that one? Three? Huh? We had Matthew. We had Luke. We had Deuteronomy. We went to the Old Testament. Has God changed yet? Does he keep saying the same thing? He don't change. All right, let's go in Mark. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. You all ready? Mark chapter 12 and verse 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, okay, who is he talking to here? Sadducees again, right? Huh? With the same thing. They on that same principle that I read to you before. Who's going to marry her? Right? Whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Right? Same thing? Okay, look. Let's look at Mark's rendition. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Do ye not therefore error, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Did he tell them the same thing? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise. Have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do what? Mark said, you don't just err. You what? Greatly err. Y'all missing it. Amen. Look at verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Now, Matthew called him a Pharisee, but Mark called him a scribe. See, the Pharisees and scribes, they were lawyers, right? Look at this. Look at verse 29. Asked him the same question. Verse 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Right? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that does ask him any questions. He made that plain. Huh? It's only two things you love, saints. Huh? God and people. Amen? Everything else, you just enjoy it. I enjoy playing golf. I enjoy my house. Amen? I enjoy my wife. Amen. I love her too. She's a person. She's a person, right? God. Okay. I love her. Amen. She know that. I tell her that all the time. I love money. There you go. Minister Lisa said, incorrect. Huh? You enjoy spending money, but you don't love the money. Huh? Okay. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 6, chapter 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When you love things other than God and people, look out. Okay? Use caution. Amen. I got to tell you this one, Saints. Reverend Ike. I was looking at one of his videos the other day because Pastor Bryant was telling me something about it. So I said, okay, I'm going to take a look at that. So I'm looking at Reverend Ike, right? Now, this scripture just said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Reverend Ike said, the lack of money is the root of all evil. Amen. And then he said, he believes the latter is greater than the former. Huh? Let me say this to you all. I strongly disagree with that. Huh? I don't care what they come up with. It will not supersede the scripture. Huh? Now, he has some truth in what he said. But the scripture said, it's the love of money which is the root of all evil. And Reverend Ike says, the lack of money, and it's greater. It causes more evil than the love of it. And I strongly disagree. Because, see, it's an answer to everything, right? It's an answer. But God is the answer. Amen. Amen. Huh? Nothing man can come up with will supersede the word of God. Huh? Yeah, some people, certainly, some people, because they don't have money, may do some evil things. Okay? He was right. But the scripture said the love of money, the person who loves that money so much, they gonna even do more evil things. That's what the scripture said. So I had to rebuke him. No. That's not what the Bible say. Huh? I be watching God's word. When God say something, saints, that's the answer. Everything else is just an answer. Amen. It's an answer to the problem, but it ain't the answer. Amen. You all heard this scripture right here. It says that money answereth all things. Hmm? So what does that say? Money is an answer, right? The scripture says money answereth all things. Correct. Minister Lisa be studying. She said, yeah, it's in Ecclesiastes. It certainly is. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. It reads like this. A feast is made for laughter, okay? And wine maketh merry. But money answereth all things. Ain't that what the scripture say? Cammy, can you turn that? Is the heat on? I'm hot. Are you all hot? Whoo, I'm baking up here. Thank you, Jesus. Cool off for a second. Amen. So the scripture says that money answereth all things, right? So let me give you an earthly illustration of a heavenly truth. Because I said God is what? The answer. But this particular scripture, you can get confused because it says money answer everything. Is that what it says? Money answereth all things. That's what it says. So the doctor say you got cancer. And you got millions of dollars. Huh? So the money gonna speak because the money is an answer. The money say, we going to Mayo Clinic. We going to get the best treatment. We going to get the best of everything. Huh? We going to get the best surgeon. We going to get everything the best. The money is talking right now. Because it's an answer. The money is an answer. Huh? But at the end of the day, you praying, Lord, you got to heal me. Lord, you got to heal my body. Huh? Why do you do that? Because God is the answer. Amen. Oh, I just got to show it to you. Huh? Money will give you an answer, saints. To everything. That's what the scriptures say. But please believe God is the answer. Amen. I just showed you all that because I wanted to make my main point that what you really love, you invest in. Amen. You invest in what you really love. I love my children. Okay. Here come the acid tests. Do you spend time with them? Because you got two awesome resources, right? Time. Okay, so if you say you love them, you got to spend time with them. Do you invest in their futures? See, love is an action word, you know, right? Love is an action word. God said he loved us. Then what did he do? He gave us his only begotten son. Huh? He couldn't give him. Could he do anything greater than that? He came here himself and died. Left heaven. Now, y'all know just from the little we know about heaven, you gonna leave that? Huh? He must really love us. Amen. Love is an action word. Thank you, Lord. Here's one. Y'all want the acid test on this one? Huh? I love God. Okay, here we go. Do you spend time in his word? Huh? Do you invest in his kingdom? Huh? Are you living your life according to his will and his purpose for your life? Huh? See, it says we should know them by their fruits. You can say, look, you can say anything. Huh? Do you even do what he asks you to do with the 10%? Uh-oh. You say you love him. Amen. Father said, give him another earthly illustration. Okay. All right, I'm going to give you another earthly illustration. Check this out. Here's an earthly illustration of a heavenly truth. So you go to the restaurant, right? You're in the restaurant. You have a great meal, right? And they say, okay, well, you got to pay the bill, and they want 15 to 20% tip. And some of these restaurants these days, they just putting that on there. They don't even ask you. It used to be, well, you know, it's a 10% tip gratitude if you really like the service. Nah, it's just, hey, you just got to pay the tip no matter what. It's a gratuity, right? And if you don't do it, if you go in a restaurant and you eat and you just leave, you are a thief and a robber. Am I correct? That's what you are. Do it and see. See what they do. They going to be on that phone. Yep, they look like so. They just came in and ate our food. Huh? They left. They didn't pay the bill, nor did they leave us a tip. Okay? All right. Earthly illustration of a heavenly truth. Here we go. Now, God feeds you. Huh? Come into the house of God. He feeds you good. He feed all of us. Amen? He wants us to pay the bill. It's a freight that comes with this, right? He already set the price is 10%. And he ain't like the world. He don't go up and up. And he the same yesterday, today, and forever. The fee is 10%. Amen? And you can make an offering. That's like a tip, right? But the fee is 10%. So to make it plain, let's say you make $1,000 a week. You should pay $100 a week for the food that God is feeding you. I'm going to show this to you in the scriptures. Amen. And make an offering. What's the offering? It could be anything. It could be a penny, from a penny all the way up, whatever you want. He don't even set nothing on that. He just say tithes and offerings. That's it. Right? Isn't that God's principle? And it hasn't changed. It remains the same. Amen. Okay, y'all looking in. Okay, turn to Malachi. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. What are we on today? You all have two great substances, right? Time, come on. And money. Those are your two great substances, right? Time and money. That's all you got. Your two great substances. Amen. Malachi chapter 3. You know what Malachi means? Malachi means my messenger. Amen. Okay. Look at verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger. Amen. And he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Lord, that's a mouthful. So he's saying he's going to send his messenger. You know what the custom of God is? To send us a messenger. God always going to send you a messenger. Before you get ready to do something crazy, everybody know, man, something told me. You know, I just had a feeling about somebody told me. He going to get the message to you. You about to mess up. Amen. Why does he do that? Because he's just, he's fair. He warns us. Amen. So this scripture is saying he sent his messenger. God sends the messenger to prepare us so when he arrives, he can come into the temple. What's the temple? This. Not this place. This. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Huh? So he sent the messenger, right, to prepare us so when he arrives, he can come into the temple, right? And how does he come into the temple? Suddenly. Huh? That's why he sent a messenger. See, we don't know the day or time, so he'll send a messenger out. Amen? So, because suddenly he's going to come. He's going to come back here. How? Like a thief in the night. Suddenly. You don't know when. Amen? So he sends a messenger to let you know. Okay, this is about to happen. Amen? Look at verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Who's going to abide, saints? The prepared ones. Huh? He said the messenger is going to prepare you, right? So the prepared ones will abide. The hearers and the doers. They're going to abide. Amen? I just answered that question. But who may abide? Those are the ones that's going to abide. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in what? Righteousness. Huh? When God sits in the temple, he begins to purify us saints. He gets rid of all the impurities, the lateness, the sloppiness, the life, that kind of lifestyle with him. Why? So we can live righteous. So we can give him an offering of righteousness. Is that what it says? Look at verse 4. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. See, when God cleans us up, saints, purges us of all that mess that we have in us, huh, that we got to get, renews our mind, because that's really what's going on. Now we're offering from a pure heart, saints. Amen. And I will come near to you to judgment. And he's going to come closer. And I will be a swift witness against what, saints? The sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the oppressed, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What an order, right? First, the messenger prepares the way. Then suddenly he comes to purge and refine us. Then he comes closer and takes a look. Huh? And he's looking at all that stuff he hates, you know, sorcerers and adulterers and false. He don't like none of that. But he clean that off of us first. Huh? He clean it off like fire. That's what it says. Then he'll come and take a look. For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Didn't Minister Lisa read something about Jacob? Did you read something about Jacob in them Psalms today? I thought I heard something. Amen. He says the sons of Jacob won't be consumed. Why is that? We need to be glad God doesn't change, saints. He's not going to consume the sons of Jacob. Why? Because he made Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob some promises. Amen. So he can't change. Amen. He keeps his word, saints. And thank God he does, or we would be consumed. Huh? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Look at verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone astray from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, when shall we return? We like, what did we do, Lord? When do we leave? How do we leave you? That's what we're saying, right? Ain't that what he say? You say, when shall we return? They are so into doing it their own way, saints. They didn't know what they did. Thank you, Jesus. It reminds me of that cousin that called me up. It's ringing in my head right now. Bible toting, tongue talking, praying for everybody, but doing it our own way. Amen. Now, when you do that, you come up short. When you do it your way, you're going to come up short, saints of God. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. They were so used to doing the things their way, they didn't know they were out of order. It really reminds me about, I asked her, are you a tither? Do you tithe? No. Do you go to church with all those gifts and stuff? No. So you're just doing it your way. Your stuff is all messed up. That means you're under this curse, and now you're trying to put my money under the curse. If I come to your rescue, God might be showing you something here. Oh, saints of God, look at verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, that's how you come up short, saints. It might not be just in your finances. It could be in the revelation of God. All he wants to reveal to you. See, when you do it God's way, hear me on this one. Please hear me on this one. And the revelation comes from heaven. And we all eating. It's manna from God, right? But the person is doing it God's way. He gets so much more out of what's coming out of my mouth than the person that's not doing this way. I'm a living example of that. When I begin to do it, God's, the revelation just was so strong. Why? Because I was doing it his way. Amen. The revelation got so much deeper. So you say, well, I'm not short in my finance. I'm good. But where you could be. See, you where you at thinking that's good. But I'm talking about that eyes have not seen. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. You're going to come up short. I'm telling you, saints of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. What y'all think he's pouring out? Money? Revelation. He's pouring, the more revelation, the more you things are revealed to you, the better chances and the greater chances you're going to get whatever you intend to get, which is going to lead to the money. Jesus told him, go look for this fish. Open his mouth. It's going to be some gold. He's going to tell you where the money is too. You serving him? Oh, please. He said, this is the only area, saints, where God said, you just got to prove me. And y'all know I tried to prove him, right? That's why I'm telling you this right now. I'm sitting under Pastor Brian and I'm like, Lord, now this principle here, now I came to church and I'm enjoying it. I'm reading scriptures for the people. I'm doing everything they ask. I said, but nah, I'm tired and I'm giving this money. But this don't make no sense. I got that kid in college. I know he needs this money. But I did it. As a matter of fact, I doubled it up. I told y'all this story. I said, nope, I'm gonna give you twice so that way I go broke. I'll be done with this nonsense because it doesn't make sense. But that's not what happened. What happened was I continued to spend more money and buying more things, steadily buying cars, buying this, buying that, bank account tripled. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. I was sleeping this one, huh? And it ain't never stopped. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Look what he said he'll do when you do it his way. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. This is one of the few areas, saints, where God personally said, I'm going to personally rebuke the devourer for you. I'm not going to allow him to deal with your finances. I'm not going to allow him in your finances. Amen. This is one of the, I haven't seen many more areas where God say, this is what I'm going to do personally. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to give y'all this revelation. I got to get this one to you because this goes on a lot. Oops, I almost said the name. Pastor Brian told me don't be saying names. You should not do that, man of God. I said, okay. But a certain ministry on TV, you all seen them, they on there asking for $1,000. They say, if you pay this $1,000 seed, you're going to break the back of poverty. You will never see poverty again. I was like, wow. Now, I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, this is God, because all of a sudden I'm in front of this program seeing this. Say, if you plant this $1,000 seed, poverty, you can forget about seeing poverty again. So you all know I planted that $1,000 seed, right? Huh? I planted that $1,000 seed, and I never looked back. Amen? I never looked back. And then I was in my early morning prayer, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I do anything you tell me. I planted that $1,000 seed. I never want to see poverty again. And the Lord told me, like he told the Sadducee, you do error in the scriptures. I said, what, Lord? But they said that if I plant the thousand, he said, what did I say? I started scratching my head. He said, tithes and free will offerings. That's what broke the curse off of you. Had nothing to do with the $1,000 you sent them. I was like, Lord, have mercy. So when you hear that, send me a $58 seed. I'm going to give you 58. In 58 days, this is going to happen. The kingdom of God's financial systems is tithes and free will offerings only. That's it. That's why you don't see me doing bake sales, raffles, none of that to fund God's kingdom. He taught me tithes and free will offerings only. That's all you do. Amen. I'm at the prayer brunch. Lady says, you should have some envelopes on the table for the offerings, Pastor, because this is really nice and we're enjoying it. I said, ma'am, if you want to leave an offering, you can leave an offering. I said, but I'm not, this is not a fundraiser. Amen. I'm doing this for God's people. Amen. You freely have whatever you want to have. Amen. Enjoy this. But I'm not trying to raise funds. Why? Because God put in me tithes and free will offerings only. That's how you fund my kingdom. Huh? So don't get caught up with those gimmicks and things on TV. If you want to curse off your finances, what is it, saints? Tithes and free will offerings only. It's not the pastor that's passing the buck 300 times down the aisle. If you're not tithing, it's nothing that's going to. It's tithes and free will offerings. Once you do that, you're done. Amen? Oh, I had to give you all that one because they got me with that one, saints. Amen? They got me. I thought that really was what broke that poverty spirit off of me. I thought that did it. But God said that had nothing to do with it. Amen? Look at verse 12. All the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise God. I'm going to stop right there. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. They got it, Father. I got it, Lord. Our two greatest substances is our time and our money. Amen. And you don't want us to waste any of it, Father. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing us in your word, Lord, how precious the things that we have are and how not to waste them, Lord.